Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. When we say higher education, we usually think of four-year schools and overlook something highly important, our two-year colleges. Among other things, they offer technical training in highly important skills, from computerized machining to skilled technicians working with the mentally ill. Advocates argue such hands-on programs do something else, that they generate a kind of personal confidence and sense of achievement hard to come by in our high-tech world. True? We're about to find out by visiting the University of Montana's Helena College. We're walking into their campus right now. We're standing in a large industrial-looking room with a lot of, that look to me like machine tools, lathes. I'm not quite sure what I'm looking at. What am I looking at?
Machine shop equipment, like lathes and mills, just like you mentioned.
And you are, and what do you do here?
I'm Art Warner. I'm the machine instructor, CAD-CAM instructor here at the College of Technology.
CAD-CAM is a word that I don't understand.
CAD-CAM is basically computer-aided design, computer-aided manufacturing. We can make something out of metal, put it on a machine that has a computer, and make that part.
So you're teaching students to do that, first year, second year?
I'm the first year instructor.
Now, standing next to you is another gentleman. Your name, sir?
Matthew Moyer.
And what do you do here?
I'm the second year instructor for CAM, computer-aided manufacturing.
What's the difference between first and second year instruction, and who are your students?
Our students make up usually average about 27 years old, all the way from 18 to 60. The students come in, they will go through our first year and learn how to manually run a machine. How do we make this machine make a part? How do we make the machine make an exacting part? Anything you find in a machine shop, like a mold for a glass or a mold for glasses or a mold for plastic injection molding, we can make that. So we take a piece of metal off a rack and we'll put that in a machine and we'll make a very exacting piece out of that metal.
I go back a ways where the idea of using computers to drive the machines, machining, which I gather is central to your concept, is when I was, let's say, 18, considering doing something like this, didn't exist. Is that fair?
Yes, that's correct. We use a computer to generate code. We have Haas turning centers and machining centers here. So in our second year, our students are introduced to the G&M codes, so they learn to write them manually on a computer. And then in our second semester of our second year, we introduce a software called MasterCAM. And MasterCAM we use to create that G&M code via computer and graphical display.
With that range of students, what would you say is your rough ratio of success? By success, I mean people that come in the first year, learn from you, go on through the second year, and successfully complete this curriculum.
I think that normally 20 to 30% leave the program for some reason, either grades or personal reasons or family life. All those tie into completing this program in 2 years.
Well, that's pretty high success rate. That's 70 to 80%. And if I asked you, what is the key from your standpoint to excellent instruction, to being an excellent instructor, what would you say?
I think the fact that we were able to lecture to the student and then whatever we talked to them about, we're able to apply that on the floor. So now Joe upstairs, he doesn't quite get it. We get down on the floor. We say, now, Joe, do this just like I'm doing. Do this just like I'm doing. So we're able to instruct them one by one, depending on their level, and get them to understand a concept that we need to, them to learn.
Okay, now that sounds to me like, in your experience, there's synergy between what I'm going to call abstract instruction and hands-on work.
Yes, definitely being able to come down to the lab down here with our machines and getting the hands-on, giving the students that hands-on learning experience is, I think, what makes a difference and lots of times what drives the points across and makes them become successful programmers and machine operators.
One final question. Learning takes motivation. You can't force people to learn who don't want to learn. The implication to me of your success ratio is that the students come here motivated, would you say, or do they learn motivation when they're here? What would you say?
The neat thing about students is the fact that they know where the jobs are. And when they come in, they say they have an expectation is when I get done with this program, I'm able to get a job. And our success rate has been very high that way in Montana. We've been able to place most years, every students have at least three opportunities to go to work. So they're motivated because, hey, I see an end product. I see if I learn this and learn this, I'm able to go to work. Our advisors are saying, this is what we want you to teach. And we teach that. Now the advisors take these guys and put them to work. Now these guys, they say, I'm totally motivated. I see the end point here. There's an end game to this thing. And me getting a good financial future is where it's at.
How long have you been teaching here?
This is my 25th year.
Why are you still here?
This job appeals to me because to make a difference in somebody's life. And this program actually makes a difference in somebody's life. Somebody who's making $10,000 or $15,000 a year can now step up and make $30,000 to $40,000 a year. That's a huge benefit for me as far as motivation. I'm able to make a difference in somebody's life.
I understand you're a student here and your name is Jessica. That's all I know about you.
Yes.
Where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
I grew up mostly in Arizona. My grandfather was a communications specialist for the city of Phoenix. My grandma was a stay-at-home grandma.
And when did you come to Montana?
I moved to Montana when I was 16. Moved to Thompson Falls, Montana, and graduated high school there.
Mind if I ask your age now?
I am 32.
We're still in the machine shop classroom, and the two instructors that I just spoke with said the range of students is 18 to 60. What brings you here at age 32?
Well, I pursued college once before for nursing. I just had my second baby. It just wasn't the right time, and I wasn't quite sure I wanted to do nursing in the first place.
Why are you a student here now?
Well, I started going back to school originally for aviation maintenance. I joined the Navy straight out of high school and did 4 years in the service and ended up doing aviation maintenance. So I figured I'd fall back onto that little bit of experience that I had. However, in my first year at Helena College, I found out that the job perspectives were not very likable here in Montana. So I started to explore other options that would be a better career move, being a single mom of two children, raising them on my own. I needed the stability financially as well as the ability to move up.
You speak of financial stability. This is a two-year curriculum. How confident are you that at the end of this you're going to have employment?
Well, last year, on my first year of the program, I won several different scholarships and grants, one being from Boeing, which is an employer here in Helena, Montana. And they have kind of taken me under their wing and been very supportive, and they're looking forward to hiring me upon completion of graduation in May.
This is, to me, education in manufacturing. Did that factor in? I mean, when we look at the economy, there's a trend of America over the last 30, 40 years having lost manufacturing. But you clearly seem to think there's a future in that for you?
I do. You know, there's a huge push to buy made in America in our country at this point in time. And we have a lot of manufacturing companies popping up everywhere. Montana is really good as far as manufacturing in many different aspects, whether it's plastics, whether it's firearms, whether it's hunting, outdoor equipment. We are the future for bringing manufacturing back to America and having a lead over China.
You're in your second year. We're doing this early in 2014, so you're close to graduation. What's your sense, straight out, for the quality of the instruction and education you've received here?
You know, these two instructors have a lot of passion into what they do. They have a lot of knowledge as to what they are doing and what they're teaching. And combined, they make an incredible team. And they are the reason why there is a 70%, 80% graduation rate. They push people in a positive manner. They're always there to help. And they are very supportive of each and every one of us being successful.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with students and faculty about the difference that two-year colleges can make in young people's lives. We've just spent some time looking over the welding shop program, very large space, a lot of people wearing helmets, not surprisingly, welding. One of them is Jay King. How long have you been here, Jay?
This is my second year here at Helena through the welding program.
Where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
I grew up in outside a little town, Winnet, Montana, Central State. My folks, they have a ranch, so I grew up on a ranch working cattle.
Went through high school there?
K through 12 through Winnet High School, and was on the basketball team. We made it to state, which is a big deal for Class C. Good school, good background.
How old are you now?
I'm 23, going to be 24 in a few months.
That suggests there's a time between high school and your attendance here. Is that fair?
I went to MSU for a year for mechanical engineering, wasn't ready for books, went to Australia for a year, and then Bozeman through Gallatin College has a small welding program, and I took that before I came to here to Helena for the welding program.
Why would you switch from Bozeman to here for the welding program?
Initially I came here for the machining program, but there wasn't a spot, so I decided to do welding, and I'm really glad I did. The Gallatin College, it was a good teacher, good instructor, but they didn't have the curriculum that they do here, and I learned a lot more and became a much better welder in a short period of time here at Helena College.
To a guy like me, and maybe some of our listeners, welding is taking some sort of metal rod, melting it to make a joint. I'm guessing it's more sophisticated than that. Can you help me?
You're talking about stick welding, and yeah, you've got a metal rod with a flux on it, and the flux is just different minerals like sulfur or silicone or such, and basically you're creating an arc between your rod and your base metal by using a stinger, which is hooked up to your welding machine, and through that you're transferring the metal and the flux and creating a weld puddle, which creates a weld bead, which makes your joint.
Okay, so that's the technical explanation that I can relate to. What do you learn that's more sophisticated than that, obviously? That sounds like something one might be able to learn in a month or two. This sounds like you're here for 2 years, you're learning more sophisticated things?
Well, there's three main processes with welding. You've got stick welding, which is I just described, MIG welding, which is with a gun and it runs wire off a spool, and then you've got TIG welding, which you have a torch with that creates an arc, and then you add a filler metal after you heat up your base metal. So we learn all three processes. Also, like for stick, for instance, it doesn't take too long to make a bead on a flat plane, but then you get a joint in the vertical or an overhead position, and it creates a lot harder joint to weld. And right now we, in our beginning semester of our second year, we're learning pipe welding, which is one of the more difficult welding processes.
I think I remember from a long time ago someone telling me welding aluminum is much more difficult, requires much more skill often than welding steel. Fair? And if so, how?
It is different. And yes, it is pretty tough. And welding aluminum with the TIG process, people that get really good at it can make very beautiful welds, and it's if you can make a high-quality weld, it's pretty, no matter if you know welding or don't know welding, you can tell it's a good, pretty weld, and you can tell if someone's skilled.
As you look back at your time here, how would you describe the quality of instruction you receive and what makes an exceptionally good instructor?
My instructors are awesome. They're the best instructors I could wish for. Things that make them good, they know they're very good at welding. They've spent time at the field, so they're very good at knowing what they're teaching you. They're pretty much no bullshit guys. They're to the point. If you work hard for them, they will work hard for you. They've been very good to me. I've worked hard, and they've been very good to me. They're good about finding job offers for you or supplying references for scholarships and such. and just helping you out with any questions you may have, and they instill a good work ethic in us, and overall just good guys.
And what, in your opinion, makes for a good student?
A good student is someone who tries hard and keeps trying, even if it's if they're not doing well, until they get better and become good.
Many thanks. Good luck to you, Jay.
Thank you.
When we think of technical education, things like welding and machine shops are traditional and flow logically. But it's a dynamic field, as we're about to find out. Your name?
Dustin Barnes.
What do you do here, Dustin?
I am a sophomore at Helena College for the Mental Health Direct Care Program.
Before we discuss what you're studying, tell us about your background. Where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
I lived in a lot of different places around the United States, but I'm primarily from Montana. I moved to Montana when I was 10 to a town called Sunburst, but I ended up graduating from Shoto High School.
And your folks, what would they do for work?
My mom did all different kinds of jobs. She raised three children by herself.
That's a big job.
Yes, it is. And she provided for us by doing various cleaning jobs for different businesses and people.
When did you graduate high school, and what have you done since then?
I graduated in 2005, and for a while I worked in different restaurants in Missoula, and I ended up getting in trouble with the law and was incarcerated for about a year. And that whole experience humbled me, and it gave me perspective and made me want to work on my education.
Why did you end up here then? Why did you choose this institution?
Well, originally I came through the Helena pre-release because Helena has a low unemployment rate, so it's easier to find a job here. But I decided just to start my education, and I struggled with a lot of different mental health problems, and I saw that Helena College had the Mental Health Direct Care Program, and I thought it would be a perfect fit for my experiences and what I wanted to do.
First of all, I want to thank you for sharing that background with us. How's that played out for you so far, that hope and expectation that with your background and this educational program there'd be a good fit?
It has been better than I ever imagined. The Mental Health Direct Care Program is basically a psychology degree, but it focuses more on the clinical and biological aspects of mental health, which gives me a leg up in a two-year institution over going to a different school.
Clinical and biological are technical terms for most of us. The implication of the title, Mental Health Direct Services, did you say?
Mental Health Direct Care.
Okay, that sounds like hands-on, so it sounds like they're combining theoretical, or not just theoretical, medical science background with what I'll say nuts and bolts to help people with severe mental illness, fair?
Yes.
When you see yourself, envision yourself walking out the door here, having completed your curriculum, what do you plan to do with that combined knowledge?
Well, I have an internship lined up in Missoula to work with co-occurring disorders, people that had substance abuse problems and mental health problems. Plus, I'm transferring to Missoula to pursue my four-year degree in clinical psychology, and hopefully I can go on from there and get my master's.
What do you want to do with your master's? When it's all said and done, you walk out, you've finished your education, what do you hope to be doing in 5 or 7 or 8 years?
I want to acquire as much education as I can to be able to help out as many people as possible. So I haven't exactly decided which part of the field I would like to go into, but I would like to help out people that have experienced what I've had to go through when I was younger.
With those goals and that personal story, how's your experience been here so far? You've been here about a year and a half.
The teachers have been great. at Helena College, there's a lot of individualized help that's not provided at a lot of different colleges. For instance, Elise Lavelle and I performed a peer-reviewed publishable journal article on our free time. She actually donated her time to be able to do this with me, which most colleges would not ever provide that kind of support.
Obviously, you have, as you've described, personal experience with mental health issues. If you step back from that personal experience and someone said, why is this issue or what you're studying important to our society at this time, what would you say?
There currently in our society, there's not enough information about mental health. There is a misconception about the field, and this education helps educate people about the field further and gives a direct link between a client that's suffering from mental illness and the doctor, the psychiatrist, or even the therapist.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with students and faculty about the difference that two-year colleges can make in young people's lives. Dan Bingham is the CEO and Dean of the Helena College, University of Montana. Thanks for having us to your institution. I've enjoyed the trip so far.
It's been a pleasure having you here.
Tell me about your background in some. Where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
Well, I grew up in Northern California and then moved to Arizona about halfway through that growing up period and graduated in high school there in Arizona. My father is a cabinet maker by trade, and I learned that skill set, and my first job the day after graduation was working construction.
And your education?
My education is industrial technology, my baccalaureate, and then my master's and PhD is in educational leadership.
All right. Now, am I wrong to suspect that the fact that your dad was a cabinet maker and that you learned those skills has something to do with the fact you're heading an institution like this?
Yes, it's just a natural. It's something I've been doing all my life. I understand it well. In fact, I enjoy the aspects of all technical education.
I have not heard before of a PhD in educational leadership. What does it mean to you, PhD language aside?
PhD language aside, basics, it's working within an institution, and my degree specifically speaks to two-year education, is in leadership, development, organization, and taking a two-year college and bridging the gap between technical education and transfer education, making that all work for a community.
I understand, I think, what technical education is. We've had different students and instructors here illustrate that for us on this show. What is transfer education?
Your general education courses, your professional courses like business, medical areas of education, accounting, history, finance, political science, all those things that transfer over to a four-year degree for baccalaureate or professional purposes.
Roughly what percentage of your students go on for a four-year degree after graduating from your two-year programs?
Our transfer rate is about 30 to 40% right in there, give or take, on the year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the number that will transfer within the state of Montana to a four-year college.
So that means most of your students are coming here for some aspect of a two-year program with the expectation that's going to work for them in enhancing the quality of their lives. Is that fair?
Right now, about 60% of our students are in technical education, and the balance are for transfer.
Let's focus on the technical education two-year side. How long have you been in your current position here?
This summer will be 9 years. I'll finish 9 years.
Okay. Over that period of time, either in the overall field of technical education or here at this campus, significant change, not significant change, what would you say?
Well, extremely significant change. When you think about what happens in the computer field and how fast that changes, that transfers over into technical education. When you think about an auto mechanic student,
mm-hmm.
years ago they were turned as the greasy shop.
Yeah, something I used to be able to do in high school. I can relate to that.
Right. If you can fix a carburetor, you'd be doing great. But now, today, if you do not have the computer skills, the mathematical skills to put together with the turning the wrench skills, you will not make it in that field.
I will say frankly, I'm impressed with the people I talk to here, both your instructors and your students.
We have the best faculty I've ever worked with in 30 years history of higher education.
What makes them so good?
They're not just educated through the traditional means. They are educated through hands-on practical experience that they bring into the classroom and say, in the real world, this is exactly how you do it.
I appreciate that your college provides what I'll call the stepping stone, part of its mission, to four-year college and graduate degrees. But we have focused, from my standpoint, what strikes me about my experience here today is the excellence of your preparation of the technical programs for two-year students to be ready to serve their communities now. For you personally, how important is that part of your educational mission?
That is the foundation to Helena College. That's where we started years and years ago. That's a focus of what we have today. And that provides to our community very well-rounded, well-educated, and prepared students who then can go out and perform a specific function or a variety of functions that meets the needs of the backbone of our community. Transportation, energy, whatever area it might be in a technical way across this country, and let alone just our own region, there is a heavy need for individuals who can go out and perform these given tasks for daily life within our community.
Someone might say, listening to this show and hearing what you just said, that the combination of, let's call it, abstract learning, theoretical learning, learning of principles and ideas, and hands-on has tremendous untapped potential for our country. What would you say to that hypothetical?
I would say you just described to your education and our mission. Our mission is to provide a practical education, provide an opportunity for individuals to realize their dream and meet the needs of a community. I would say you're right on with that.
Dan Bingham, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for having us out to your institution.
It's been a pleasure, Brian. Anytime you want to come back.
And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.